And if it wasn't sunny already, it would be sunny automatically now because Marsha Clayman's here from over at Oakleaf Village in Lexington. Time for the positive points on aging. And I welcome you in, my friend.
Thank you.
How are you?
Great. Weather's fantastic. Traffic was a breeze today.
Well, how about that?
Oh, wow. It was like a blessing.
That's always nice. You don't hear that very often coming from across town, so that's nice to hear.
It was a lot of traffic, but everybody was staying in their lane and doing their thing and going the right
speed. Behaved.
So, yeah, we were doing fine all the way in. So
very nice.
That starts my day out good when I have that happen.
It matters. It does. You add that to a beautiful weather-filled day, and all of a sudden, you know, that sets the tone. Very nice. Very nice. Hey, I got a question for you. Tell me what compassion fatigue is.
Oh, wow. It is what happens when you are drained of emotional energy for those that you've been working with that are in pain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What happens is that, and let me give you an example. There are two things. When people hear about compassion fatigue and then they think about burnout.
Okay. Right.
What is the key word in compassion in compassion fatigue?
Compassion. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Burnout is usually when we've just done something over and over, and we kind of throw our hands up and goes, "I'm done. I'm done. I don't care about this anymore.
Right.
I'm walking away."
Right.
Compassion fatigue, you do not walk away from, and you really need some certain keys to help you get through it. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because right now there is a shortage in healthcare. We have healthcare workers that are working double shifts. They're working 12, 14 days in a row, not getting a break. And sure, sometimes people's moods are going to snap. And that's one thing. And we're going to talk about that second half about when you get really bad healthcare service, who you turn to. But I really want us to have some empathy for these healthcare workers right now, especially the ones that are in the front line, the ones that are dealing with imagine dealing with ventilators all day.
Right.
Imagine watching people struggling like that every day. It's the same thing like with people that work in oncology or ICUs.
Sure.
Or
that's hard not to take home.
It is hard. And the thing is that it gradually will build up. And it's kind of like you just finally have to find a solution. For me, this happened to me about 5 years ago. Working with Alzheimer's, I love working with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those that I put my heart on everything I do, and it really got to me. And then my mother was diagnosed at the same time.
Right.
And I was standing there at a function, and I was talking to this gentleman who is a veteran, and he was saying, "How are you doing?" I go, "You know, I'm not really doing so good." I said, "I'm really mentally and emotionally exhausted." I said, "I love what I do, but I just don't think I can do it anymore, and I think I'm going to leave my job." And he looked at me, and he goes, "You've got compassion fatigue." And I laughed at it. I said,
"Right,
what?"
Right.
He says, "No, I want you to go home, and I want you to look it up."
Right.
And I did. So I did change my job for like 6 months. I walked away from it, and then I realized how much I missed it. However, what happened after that was that I met up with Dr. Macy Smith. She's a leading social worker and gerontologist here in Columbia. And we decided to put together a program called Compassion Fatigue Boot Camp. Now, this was pre-COVID. And imagine we filled it twice, you know, each year with social workers. We had law enforcement there. We had some EMTs there. We had people that are involved in this. And for 2 years now, in pre-COVID, I can imagine what it would be like now if we were to hold it again and see what would happen.
Yeah.
Because people are struggling out there.
Sure, they are. No, and I mean, it's one of those terms that you hear and you say to yourself, okay, compassion fatigue. Does it really need an explanation if you just look at each word separately, compassion, fatigue, and then you combine the two and you see, you know, you want to never lose that compassion, never lose that empathy, that caring for other people. But at some point, you do so much of that you just find yourself exhausted. And you're like, "Calgon, take me away," you know?
You know, being raised by a minister, I used to hear my dad talk about these ministers that would go on sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always go, "What's a sabbatical? It sounds like they're going to a monastery or something."
Right, right.
And it was, they had to get away. They had to take time off of their job. And even last night, as I was looking at different things about compassion fatigue, it said that Mother Teresa, who is my all-time number one hero.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those, if you ever get those things saying, if you could have 5 minutes to talk with someone.
Right, right.
She's always the top of my list,
sure.
Other than my parents. But anyway, it was for those nuns that worked and traveled with her, for every 4 to 5 years, she would force them to take a year off for healing because they took in so much. Because you know how she would... I mean, the children that she came the people in the middle of a famine, or these children that were suffering. So she knew what she was doing. But anyway, usually it affects people that are dealing with pain that's associated with other people or even with animals. I think it would be harder for me even to work with animals than it would be to people.
I bet you people that work in veterinarian offices, that sometimes maybe they have that same issue that comes along and need to take a break from it. You know, if you have to go through the process of having to euthanize, pets and things like that, that's got to take a toll on you also, having to do that, or just seeing, you go through seeing family saying goodbye to their animals and all that. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of fields out there. I mean, I see it with Lainey all the time, mm-hmm. as a social worker, where she just comes home and I'm like, I would like to be your pinata. Mm-hmm. Can I absorb some of your, what you've been through, some of your pain? She's such a giver. And so, Lainey, I mean, it's very hard to see someone who wants to save the world every day.
Well, and especially those social workers that are having to help make recommendations and help people make decisions. Imagine walking into a hospital room with a sweet little lady that, is so happy in her home, and to go in there and say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones, but you cannot go home.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they've got to help navigate where Mrs. Jones is going to go.
Right, 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 right.
And they just don't say, well, let's just throw her in an apartment, or let's put her in assisted living. I mean, they have to go through the emotional side of it. How is she going to take this? Where's the support she's going to need? That type of thing. So the compassion fatigue is something that we really need to be paying attention to.
I find it interesting that you, when you first heard the term, you kind of laughed at it. Mm-hmm. But then when the more you thought about it, the more it you realize just how real it is and how it really impacts. So just to give people a preview, we're going to talk in the second half of the visit today about how to deal with it and how to cope with it and things like that as it pertains to your loved ones, especially your seniors. You know, I look at my mom and I take great pleasure in taking care of my mom. She's earned it. She deserves it. She deserves the best of the best. Whatever I can do for her, I want to do for her. But there's no doubt in my mind that every now and then I want to bang my head against the wall.
But,
you know,
Kevin, you're in that sandwich. You are the sandwich generation. You've got your family and you've got your mother. You're in the center of it.
Sure.
And you want to do as much as you can for both sides, but who's taking care of Kevin?
Yeah. Well, the Chinese buffet. That's usually who I allow to take care of Kevin, is the Chinese buffet. That's how I deal with my compassion fatigue, is spring rolls and General's chicken. But no, I get your point. This is something, though, I'm sure... You know, a lot of our listeners are very similar age to me. That's our demographic. And they are very much going through what I'm going through. I've got my cousin Bob, who's in failing health. I've got my mother, who is a battler, but she's got her issues and needs a lot of care. And then, obviously, you still have a wife and kids that you want to bring a great life to. So, yeah, I it's interesting that you refer to it as a sandwich, but you're right. It is. That's exactly where,
You are the sandwich generation accept it.
Yeah, and I do, and I think most people, you either make a choice to do it or you don't do it. But I mean, I get a lot of pleasure out of taking and helping my mom and being there for her. But Marcia, you do hit a wall. You do hit a wall.
Absolutely, and you just wonder, and a lot of times people will take it out on the ones that we're caregiving on, and that's where we have to be careful about any type of elder type abuse. My brother-in-law one time called me. He quit his job as a teacher to take care of his mom that was chronically ill.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me one day, and I could tell he was very upset emotionally. And I go, what happened? He goes, I slapped my mother.
Oh, what could be worse?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take that back. We're coming back. It's 8:45. Let's get to the Fox Business Report. More coming up with Marcia in just a bit.
Mornings with Kev.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Johnson & Johnson's summer earnings were stronger than expected, and J&J is raising its forecast for the year. The drug giant is seeing strong demand for drugs, medical devices, and consumer health products. Bank of New York Mellon's earnings topped forecasts. Google is facing fines in Russia, where it is accused of failing to delete content considered illegal. Reuters says Russia wants to fine Google a percentage of its annual profit there, as much as $240 million. Walmart says it'll build a huge grocery distribution center in Spartanburg, South Carolina. The project will create more than 400 full-time positions. Staff will work with robots and other technology to process groceries for delivery to stores. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosilda. Invested in you.
This year, the Tuttle to Towers Foundation is honoring heroes with 200 mortgage-free homes, a never-forget walk, more than 500 miles through six states in 42 days, culminating at Ground Zero on 9/11, Towers of Light tributes, a ceremony to read names aloud for those lost to 9/11 illness, and names of all lost in the War on Terror are being read on Veterans Day. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org.
Trust me, I know what back to school means for mom and dad and the kids. I've got two in school right now, and it means rides. Rides back and forth to school, rides to practice, rides to everything. This year, make all those rides comfortable. Make them safe and affordable with a new Honda from Honda of Columbia. You deserve a comfy and safe ride, and you'll get that with a Honda. And I know, I've taken many a family trip in my Honda Odyssey. Lainey's taken the kids all over town, everywhere in her Pilot. My daughter's now a senior. She heads to school daily in her Honda Civic. We are clearly a Honda family. We've bought more than 20 different Hondas over the years from the team at Honda of Columbia. It's all I've ever trusted for my family, period. School, soccer, football, dance, or drums, wherever you're headed, ride in style and comfort with amazing technology, leading edge safety, great gas mileage, and room for everything. Enjoy a no-hassle pricing and a no-pressure buying experience. Online at HondaofColumbia.com or go see the great folks at Honda of Columbia in person. Take a test drive. Fall in love with a Honda. Visit Honda of Columbia, Highway 378 at I-20.
Have a marketing idea or print vision for your business? Make it a reality at Professional Printers. At ProPrinters.com, you'll find solutions for all your design, print, and marketing needs. All types of signs and banners, promotional products, and even self-publishing. Professional Printers will help with custom packaging and die cutting. They're fast and reliable. With on-time print delivery, they'll get the job done right the first time. Professional Printers also guarantees the best prices. Check them out right now at ProPrinters.com. That's ProPrinters.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Arnold, your host for Travel Buzz, every Monday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 100.7 The Point. We're here to make your travel dreams a reality. That's Travel Buzz every Monday morning at 9 on The Point.
Point A to Point B. Traffic.
Lowell at UG with the wreck, and also 378 at Cox Ferry Road is out. Rickyard at Lonnie B. Nelson, and also US 1 at Descartes, US 1 at Maple, and US 1 at Ballpark. 390 at Trenum with the wreck, and Decker at Brookfield, and also Decker at Longbrook, and Decker at O'Neill, slowing things down. Midstate Roofing, commercial, industrial, and institutional. Got a leak? Let Midstate Roofing take a peek. Service, advice, results for over 25 years, MidstateRoofing.com. Doug Thomas with Point A to Point B traffic on The Point.
Point A to Point B traffic. Four times an hour, mornings and afternoons, on The Point.
In the Bart Fireside Studio,
it's Kevin Cohen.
Now, you might think this is because of Halloween, but it's not. Right?
Who's it for?
Who are you going to call?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
That's a good song. Yeah. Let's keep it playing for a little bit there. Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Yeah, not calling Ghostbusters, but we are asking who you gonna call. And so you wanted this song because why now?
Because we need to know where to go for help. Okay?
Right.
Compassion fatigue.
Compassion fatigue.
Yeah. You know, you walk into maybe a doctor's office. If he doesn't have the empathy that you need, he might just say, go home, take a chill pill, and just get over it because that's
right.
That's what you chose to do. However, our path to wellness begins with one small step, and it's the awareness that something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is what happens is that we have, these are the following symptoms that we will experience: exhaustion, fatigue, changes in appetite, digestive issues, and headaches. Now, that doesn't sound severe, does it? No, really, seriously.
No, I mean, it's a bunch of little things. It's not,
Is this something you would call out for sick? No.
No.
So you're going to walk, you're going to continue to work
through
it. You're
going to persevere. Okay. Yeah, you're going to plow through that.
But the problem is that you're not going to take care of yourself. And it's going to continue to build and build and build until you are going to get sick, because we all know that the emotional status sometimes of our body is what breaks it down to where we're vulnerable to other things.
Yeah,
and right now with COVID, we don't want that. A lot of pressures out there in regards to working with this pandemic. So anyway, there's a lot of resources that are available to help us. One of them is they really will preach to you about meditation, spending the time to meditate, because you need calmness. You need to put yourself in another zone to where you can totally relax and kind of get that blood pressure down.
Right.
Because that's the problem, is that too many people are suppressing the emotions and the anger and the frustration. And so our bodies are working overtime internally to cope with it.
You got to have a coping mechanism. And you mentioned meditation. I mean, I guess some people would talk about doing things like yoga.
Yes.
That's another one. But yeah, there's got to be some sort of coping mechanism when you are hitting that wall.
And, you know, they give you things like regular things that we should all know we're doing. We should get our exercise. We should eat healthy. We should have highly functional relationships. You know, sometimes I imagine some of these caregivers don't have a functional relationship. Or you have no social activities anymore because you're so exhausted that you don't want to do anything. You don't want to see anybody. All you want to do is sleep, and then you can't even get good sleep.
Yeah.
So you really need to find a way. Excuse me.
You know, when the walls are closing in on Lainey, and I can tell. I mean, I've been with her now long enough to see where it's time. I mean, for her, and everybody's different, for her, I know it's time. I need to get you up to the mountains. I need to get you some air, maybe, you know, one of these waterfalls or something where you can not have cell phones, where they can't find you, where you can just get away. For her, that's how we deal with her compassion fatigue. Is usually it's road trips. And it doesn't have to be an expensive or anything like that. She just wants to get out of town, and she wants to forget about where she needs a destination, basically, to get away. And a mountain trip is for her is just incredibly therapeutic for
her. That's good. I mean, it's good that you know that so that you can direct her to that point.
Yeah.
You know, some people develop horrible shopping issues where they become obsessive. They start doing a lot of online impulsive shopping.
Yeah.
And they think it's going to make them feel better, but it really doesn't, because they got to work even harder to pay off those bills.
Yeah, that's not a healthy outlet at all. You might think it's like one of those instant gratification situations, but then long term, it's not what you needed. It was instant, but it wasn't going to solve your problems. In, you know, 2 hours later, you're back to where you were.
But, you know, what I want to tell people, though, is that if you find yourself that you feel this way and you feel like it's your job that it's kind of created this, you really need to take time for some self-care. And self-care means you got to take time to eat well. That's not eating fast food all the time. That's going outside and sitting outside in this great weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's staying hydrated, keeping a lot of fluids running through your system, getting really good sleep. Do you know even the little blue light on the TV, that even when your TV's off, it can cause you to have disruptive sleep? And they always say the alarm clock, you know, with the bright little neon type light.
Yeah.
You need to turn away from you.
Face your phone down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're getting these notifications in the middle of the night, your phone lights up and all that stuff, and next thing you know, you wake up, even if you're half awake, you see your phone lit up. You're like, oh, is there something I need to check? Next thing you know, you're checking your phone, and then you're wide awake.
And the thing is that people, especially those that are married to people that are in this field that we're talking about, they need to be empathetic. And so that when that person decides it's time for some self-care, maybe they just need to get in the car and go away by themselves, that they're not being selfish.
Right.
They're really doing what's best for themselves and for the family.
Yeah.
Because, and what I want to impress upon people is, like, let's say if you're going to visit someone in the hospital, and maybe one of the staff members there is kind of rude to you, kind of, you know, don't take it personally. Think about this at first. Think about, I wonder how long she's been working today.
Yeah.
And is, you know, maybe if I said something nice or offered to go get her a cup of coffee or something like that, kind of diffuse that feeling at that point so that you're not taking it personally.
Sure. Well, and the hard part, you just mentioned a scenario that's hard because more than likely, if you're at the hospital to visit somebody, you're already stressed.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you're like, wait a second, you're going to be a jerk to me when I'm here, you know, under duress. Meanwhile, we forget about the fact that all day long, this person's been working and has been dealing with compassion fatigue and
right.
has hit his or her wall. And it's not personal, but they're just having a rough time coping. We could all stand to show a little bit more grace.
We can. I mean, it should not be an excuse. I'm not saying
right.
use this as an excuse. Like, for instance, someone was giving me some information the other day about their loved one. A person came in, an aide came in, and this was in a rehab center, and the woman, she had not done something that the caregiver asked her to do, and the caregiver looked at her and said, "You're on my time now." I mean, you're saying that to someone that's
right.
there for rehab?
Right, right.
You don't say that to
no.
people. Now, is that compassion fatigue? Is she having, or she just got a bad attitude
right.
that it needs to be notated also?
Yeah. Yeah, some people are just stinkers. You know, some people are in the wrong field and they're doing the wrong thing and they probably should be doing something else. And there's bad dentists, there's bad doctors, there's bad lawyers, there's bad everything. And there's bad caregivers also that are in. And plus, you know, these days, as you know this, there are a lot of home health care situations. It's so hard to find good people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them are not great paying jobs. And these days, it's so hard to find people anyway to fill jobs. This, you got to be do your due diligence about who you let around your loved ones.
I think what we have to learn as a society now is that we're going to have to pull together. We're going to have to work harder together. And when we see things that have been undone, let's say like in a restaurant and the table hadn't been cleaned off or something, you know, what's wrong with you just kind of pulling that stuff to the side and waiting for them to come and kind of ease it, help them along instead of
sure,
yelling at them.
Sure, yeah. Again, a little grace can go a long way, is I guess what I'm trying to say. A little patience. We told the story about going to a restaurant on Friday night, and Marcia, it took forever for the food to get there. Now, the server came over several times. I'm sorry. You know, we're just so short-staffed. He couldn't have been nicer. And so I was making the point on air about tipping nicely because I wasn't going to punish him. It wasn't his fault that the kitchen was slow. He kept updating us and telling us, this is where we're at right now. Sorry about this. And he couldn't have been as more pleasant than possible. So we still tipped him really, really well because he deserved it. But, yeah, we were pretty frustrated by the time, you know, an hour had passed and our food hadn't come. So you just got to show some grace to people. A little patience isn't going to do anybody any harm.
Right.
So.
And like I said, for those people especially, and I'm pointing them out, for those healthcare workers that have really been on the front line of this pandemic, it's very important that we continue to encourage them because, you know what? It's getting to the point where a lot of them are walking away and they're not looking back, and
nope.
we're all suffering because of it.
Absolutely. So if people are interested in learning more about compassion fatigue or just talking to you and talking to Karen over at Oakleaf Village, how can they get a hold of you?
You can call us at 803-808-3477. You can stop by and see us at 800 North Lake Drive in Lexington. We have a beautiful place. We'd love to sit in our beautiful parlor and have a chit-chat. Or you can go on the web, and it's oakleafvillagelexington.com.
Nicely done. Very well. I want to remind folks that our partnership with Oakleaf Village means a lot to me. It's never an infomercial. It's always something where Marcia and Karen come in and provide us with really good information for our seniors and senior care. And I really love the partnership and appreciate it very much. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Great job, as always. Really appreciate you and all you do for our seniors. We are headed to the 9 o'clock hour. I'll be back at 4 o'clock for the afternoon drive. But we got Jeremy and Courtney coming up next. For Brian, for Marcia, I'm Kev. Be safe.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
From the BART Fireside Studio, the solution for keeping you warm this winter.
This is 107 The Point.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. From San Diego to Sacramento and beyond, California's COVID vaccine mandate for schools triggering statewide protests. There were rallies yesterday. Some parents kept their kids out of classes, and some school employees called out sick. COVID vaccine mandates continue.